views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
I do know that with the pandemic and everything got mixed up, where Black Widow was supposed to be released before even WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier, that was supposed to be the lead-in. They definitely had a different plan, but I'm just so glad that WandaVision got received as well as it did, because
it was such an amazing...
It came in cold. Yeah. Like, it came in with no Black Widow, no Falcon and Winter Soldier. It came in just like, yeah, the last thing you remember was fucking Endgame that ruined everybody's life. Just a bunch of blubbering children, like, fucking
yes.
scream crying in the theater.
Big blubbering
mess. And then there's WandaVision, where she's just like, my boyfriend's dead! Like, for six episodes.
And her brother.
Episodes. Yeah, and her brother.
It was a whole thing.
Yeah.
She had nobody.
And, like, and by the way, like, also a send-off to fucking the generations of TV shows, and people are like, what the fuck? But, yeah. like, because it was so well done, they were able to steady the ship a little bit.
Yeah.
Loki, I think, is even fucking weirder than WandaVision.
Oh, but I love it.
No, me too.
I love the weird. It was so... I am of the mind, or of the group, that was like, I'm fucking done with Loki. I fucking... Through all the MCU, I'm fucking done with him. I'm over it. Like, I get his grand sacrifice at the beginning of Infinity War, whatever. But, like, the fact that they did that in Endgame, where now, oh wow, he escaped with the Tesseract. I'm
yep.
like, okay, now we're getting the Loki that you were still intrigued with at Avengers. That's where they were smart. You know what I mean? That's where they were smart.
Yep. And I was nervous at first on if they were going to give Loki enough of a character arc where he came into a place where you're rooting for him again, because this is the post-Avengers Loki. He's not the one that tries to kill Thanos. He's not the one that has some mixed feelings about his brother and, like, actually trying to develop some kind of relationship. This is 2012.
Yeah.
I want to take over Earth.
He's not the one Loki. That killed his mom.
But in pretty short order, they set it up where he realizes that it's the saddest fucking thing. All he wants is to be loved and accepted. That's
yeah.
all he fucking wants in the world. And talk about it the quickest way to our fucking hearts. It's like, I hope you can find love with girl you, because somebody's got to love you, even if it's just self-love, kind of, technically.
Oh, dude, it's the largest case of narcissism.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah, he's a narcissist. But
before we keep digging into the show, we probably should...
Get started. Yeah, we should. This is our episode on the Loki series from Disney Plus. If you have not watched the series, why are you listening to this episode? We are going to be spoiling the crap out of it, and...
It's only six episodes, seriously.
It's six episodes.
You're with it.
It's 6 hours of your life. It's well worth it. I would say the first few episodes are a little bit slow to start, as they're... creating the world of the TVA.
I was intrigued.
No, it was intriguing.
The whole time.
But,
you know?
End of episode 3 and on, it was just full steam ahead and mm-hmm. very worthwhile watch. They're doing some really cool stuff that we're going to be talking about on episode 218 of Geeks Under the Influence.
Jesus.
Welcome.
God.
Extended episode.
You gave him a kiddie pool.
When I saw the kiddie pool,
I was dying. I could not
fucking handle it.
They gave him a kiddie pool.
That's adorable.
I put up a meme that I made earlier today before we recorded that if there's an alligator Loki, that suggests that there's frost giant alligators
mm-hmm.
in the world. Because, I mean, Loki's a frost giant.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
In that universe, which, you know, if Marvel wants to give us the alligator version of the fucking Avengers, I'm here for it. Like, I'm on fucking board. I want to see, like, a Hulk alligator.
No, I don't.
A Hulkigator?
I don't know if I want to see that.
No?
Not, at least not in person. It's a big alligator.
It would just look like Killer Croc.
That's true. All right.
Killer Croc.
Possibly just lizards and amphibians, because, of course... Frog Thor was in as well.
True.
Mm.
Oh, maybe
so a
that's
full
where...
collection of amphibians and lizards with the Avengers.
I want to see the frost giant, like, fucking Asgardian war, where it's like frog Asgardians and alligator frost giants, and they're just, like, murdering each other. I'm so fucking on board. fucking yes. And cast the Crocodile Hunter's kids in it just for fucking fan service.
Shits and giggles, yeah.
Call it a day. Crikey.
I also love how Chris Hemsworth actually recorded that tiny, like, 1 second clip of the frog Thor, like, screaming in the jar.
Yep.
Like, he really, it wasn't recycled. He just came in and was like, hurrah! And that's it.
That's it.
You know what you probably made for that, too? That's another awesome part.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm sorry. He probably made a lot of money for that.
He probably recorded it on his phone.
Here you go, guys.
Yeah. We'll clean it up and post. It's
I expect
fine.
To see my deposit. Right? Okay. Yeah. There you go.
I mean, $28 for that frog Thor.
I'll take Venmo. It's good.
Right. Let's talk about the amphibians and the alligators on this episode here for the Loki series. First up, from... the last episode that you listened to Geeks on the Influence, and a pop-centric blogger and comedian and friend and panelist. We got Tori Sipe here.
Hello, everyone. Hello, hello.
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 I'm happy to have you a double down where you're doing Marvel episodes in a row.
I know. I was very excited about Loki.
I know.
Yeah.
When you were on Black Widow, you're like, Loki's my favorite. Okay. Well, that's good to know.
I mean, I was pretty blown away by it. I'm also not a Thor person at all.
Yeah, I'm not. You know,
I didn't care for any of the movies.
Ragnarok. That's got my heart.
I did not care for Ragnarok.
Oh, no. Wow.
So that's why Loki impressed me so much.
Taika Waititi can, he could record like him reading the side of a cereal box and I'd just be like,
I don't know, maybe because I waited so long to watch it and it was hyped up so much. And then I was
that
like...
That might have something to do with it, yeah.
Just Jeff Goldblum being fucking weird the whole time.
I mean, I get it, yeah. But, you know.
I mean, I get not liking the first Thor. I'm totally sure. On that train because that was like some slow, boring shit. And the second one, they started getting interesting, which I was like, okay, I kind of dig this. Ragnarok was like, and I'm so ready for Love and Thunder. Holy
oh, fuck
shit.
Yes.
I mean, I'll definitely see Love and Thunder. Yeah. I think it was just... me waiting too long.
Well, yeah. You just lost your fucking seat at that episode.
Well, that's fine.
She's like, that's fine. That's cool.
I'm going to be like the timekeeper of GUI. Just be like, well, you fucked up. Guess you're getting fucking, what is it?
Pruned.
Pruned. Yeah, you're getting pruned off that fucking episode. next one up, a gentleman that has been on one of the remote episodes for the first time in studio for GUI. A fan of the Marvel series and a friend, Chris Porter's here.
Thanks. I'm happy to be back.
Yeah. Happy to have you finally in the studio.
Oh, yeah. This is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've talked at length about you being on a number of GUI stuff for years, I think, at this point, and slowly we're integrating you a little bit more. So I'm excited to have you in to talk about Loki. You're the one on this episode that did actual research.
I try.
Beforehand, so
yeah, no, I just like I know the show. It's fine. 6 episodes.
So basically, yeah. We're gonna fuck off, and you're gonna carry us.
That's where we're at.
Remainder.
No pressure.
No pressure whatsoever for your first in person. Yeah,
I don't know. I think Tori's got might have a head up because she's like,
Tori's
I know
got some
Loki's my shit.
Yeah,
so
Tori's got
be
some
ready,
shit
bitches.
Too.
Like,
sweet. So as long as I get to coast, I'm good.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, as long as I don't have to do
take
shit.
Take it off of us. This is great,
gentlemen. That's gonna be putting his arms behind his head and relaxing while the other panelists are taking all the heavy lifting for this episode. My cohort on this show and the network, Lowdown Brown MacGyver's here.
What's going on, everyone?
Hey, bud.
How's it going? I missed you guys on Black Widow, but hey, I'm here for Loki.
We're not doing a lot of nights because there's so much shit releasing
back
this
to back
here.
To back to back to back.
So scheduling's going to be a little bit weird. You're going to be on as much as you can, but
yes,
there will be ones here and there this time of year that you can't make it. So I'm stoked that you were able to at least make this one. So
yeah, no, because I really wanted to make this one because my, like I was just saying prior to the intro, like my take on Loki is like 180 from when I sat down to like, all right, fuck, I want to watch this to the last episode. I'm like, fuck you. No, don't stop. You know, it's just like this complete 180 with this show. It because the writing is unfucking believable. It's unbelievable what they did with this.
The world building, the...
That's what I'm saying. The world building, the how insignificant things were that were so important for the last 11 years of my life. They're like using Infinity Stones as paperweights. I'm like, fuck you, dude.
That fucked me up so hard.
Right? Dude, we spent how many years... Infinity Stones. That's the shit. And they're like, hey.
I like that he's looking for the Tesseract. He's like, I mean, I guess you can have it. It doesn't matter. That's something that he was so obsessed over. I mean, I guess if you want it, like, nobody cares. It's fine.
Yeah, the guy that said some people use them as paperweights. I'm like, fuck you, man. Like,
and you can see in the scene behind them on the desk, you see a couple Infinity Stones actually being used as paperweights. Exactly. As well, fuck. There's like a Soul Stone. There's like, you know how many people in multiverse? You know how many Black Widows are dead because of your paperweight, you motherfuckers? Like, that's insane.
I had like another theory because like the actor was the guy who played Pillboy on The Good Place.
Yeah.
Who was
yeah.
Jason's friend. And I was just like, oh my God, is this like his Bad Place scenario? Or is just like this a variant of Pillboy and he just works at the TVA? Like, what's happening?
Oh, fuck. If they make a multiverse with The Good Place and Kristen Bell comes in being like, I've made myself better and now I'm a superhero. But fuck. All right. Here's all of my money. Just take it all.
I do kind of want to see her in a skin tight suit. Like,
I would be okay with that.
Yeah, I'd be very good with that. Absolutely. And the man who is okay with that as well as me is Mike Dowd Pickett.
She can be my Wasp. I'll be Ant-Man. Mm. I'll be the multiverse where Ant-Man like hasn't worked out in 10 years and like he barely fits in a suit. He actually has to throw one of those little things he throws to shrink stuff at his gut in order to pull up the
actually,
Ant-Man pants.
If you're going that route, you'd be more in tune with that new woke X-Men they're trying to do. Maybe woke was wrong term. It's like blatantly using the same powers from other characters to create new characters.
That is something that I'm interested in how that's going to be incorporated in the multiverse later as well, because X-Men will eventually become part of this conversation.
It will be canon,
down the line. But there's so much argument about power usage and new characters versus old characters, where when, let's say, Miles Morales came on the scene, people were flipping out, just make a new character. Just make a new character. You don't have to make a Spider-Man. Make a new character.
Miles Morales is a new character. Yeah, I guess what I was going with that is they're not the same named characters. They just have the same powers. Like, so we got this great new, and they market it as like, we got this great new character that's basically Rogue.
But that's
with a new name.
That's the challenge, that's the is that people right? don't like, want like, these characters to have the same names as characters they've come to know and love. So you create a new character, and there's a limited number of powers that you can, how many strong guys are there, you know?
Of the OG, you got what? Hulk, Thor,
Captain America, Winter Soldier,
Hercules.
You know,
we can keep going. Yeah, there are a lot of strong people.
So, I mean, powers have been reused. There's multiple people that do the fucking, like, huh, I shoot fire, I shoot ice. That's creative. Like, that's been a thing forever.
Who's the person that shoots smoke? Where's that guy at? Just smoke.
No, that's...
It just suffocates you.
That's probably on the Suicide Squad, because, like, what do? I make people cough. That's my power. It's like,
so that's a DC thing, right?
Your eyes burn thing. And you cough. That's my fucking job as a supervillain.
I'm a shark.
I'm a shark. Yeah, I'm like, ooh.
Or you're as obscure as, I glow in the dark.
Right? Fucking, there's a dude called Stilt Man. They ran out of powers 25 years ago.
And then they were just like, hey, what's that? What are they doing on Mega Man? Oh, just something in man? Cool, I got that.
Yeah, like, I
remember
see,
the show just
the
had villains that were like...
The most new character that X-Men ever did was still, like, I don't know, like 10, 15 years ago, was Darwin, where he immediately evolved to handle the situation that was put in front of him. Mm. And... they used him in the X-Men First Class. But that was actually a later character that came out. So powers have been reused like time and time again.
I will say, the most original, the newest original character I feel like Marvel has actually created was Legion.
Oh, Legion for sure. Yeah,
Legion was a whole other level of mindfuck.
Well, even Legion's powers have differentiated depending on the version of Legion True. That shows up in the comics and stuff. True. But like, and that's. Part of the thing that's exciting about this multiverse that we're doing with Loki is that you're going to see characters that, and I swear the reason why they decided multiverse was going to be the big push for this phase is they bought Fox.
Oh yeah.
And they're like, we have Fantastic Four and X-Men Incorporated. X-Men is like one of the most popular runs of comics in all of Marvel. And they're like, how do we do this? Fucking multiverse. Fuck it.
And Fantastic Four is the like original family.
The OG. Mm-hmm.
OG family
that's,
team.
That's like, what that Stan Lee's first real superhero team that he did was Fantastic.
And they
Four,
need to be so. Done right at least once.
They are the first family of Marvel, and they haven't done dirty for so long.
And they've gotten, exactly, it's been terrible. They've been treated like trash.
And it makes me so upset because I was such a fan of Fantastic Four when I was a kid, and I loved that run. I read like all the early run stuff via the internet, but I love that family. I love the idea of that there's a family that is in the public eye the entire time without alter egos necessarily. Like, the people know who the fuck they are. It's like, Reed Richards. Oh, so you're the stretchy guy. Like, people know, people know, like, Sue Storm's like, I'm invisible. It's like, well, yeah, but we still know who the fuck you are.
I can see you now. It's cool. Yeah, like, yeah. Oh, what are you?
It's been, yeah, as Chris said, it's been done so dirty, and I'm waiting for that. And Multiverse is the best way to incorporate all these characters, but also best way to incorporate different versions of these characters that have existed in the Marvel Universe for fucking years. You get Miles Morales that can come in now. You can get Spider-Gwen to come in now.
Yeah.
You can have Lady Loki.
She was a badass.
Lady Loki that was Lady Sif, I think, yeah, that Loki's spirit incorporated her body in the comics. But that's Lady Loki. And they incorporated her with, Sylvie.
Sylvie, yeah.
And did kind of an Enchantress kind of vibe.
She was awesome, yeah. Dude. Like, her character, her drive, like, it's like, I remember, like, it was one line she gave where she was like, I had already been on this quest since before you were born. I'm like, yo, bitch, get it. Like, she was like, I've been trying to crush the TVA since before. And Loki is how fucking old? Like, you know, like.
Well, and that's the thing that actually fucked me up about the multiverse when this show started, is that they're talking about that they have the, it took the end of the series before I was able to, like, rectify my problem, is they're talking about there's one timeline and they prune all the additional timelines. Sylvie had been a Lady Thor that whole time until she was like 10. So did the TVA just be like, we'll get it eventually. Like, we're the unionized. And they're like, after my lunch break, like, I'm not going to deal with this right now.
Like, hey, I got to take the kids out this weekend. Like, I don't know if we can handle this till Monday.
She was clearly not part of the one timeline. What do they call it? It wasn't the holy timeline. The,
Sacred timeline.
Yeah. Sacred timeline.
She wasn't part of that, obviously, because she was an alligator Loki. There's a whole lot to unpack with the world that Loki came from.
Yeah, and then like the older Loki, and he like lived like that long ass life.
Yeah.
And was just like, I mean, they're saying there's one timeline, but they're obviously like,
there's multiples.
There's multiples.
But then later at the end of it, they discussed that, you know, there was a multiverse that existed before and then it got pruned down to the timeline. So what that suggests is all these variant Lokis that you see in the void, they've been around for a fucking long time. They got removed from the timeline during the multiverse war. This is like before it got pruned down to one timeline. So they've been around. Like, Kid Loki has, like, he looks like he's fucking like 14. That dude's like centuries and centuries old.
What was his thing? He killed
Thor.
He killed Thor.
Yeah. It's like, yo, bro. Yeah. Whoa.
When you're like 10.
Yeah. Right. Right. Like, come on. How badass are you, dude?
Damn.
But like, this, I got a trick for you. Stab. Like, it's not really. You just stab me.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. What he doesn't say is he killed him when he was 6.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. 6 years old. Six-year-old. Like, we're gonna play with rocks. Beat you to death.
It's like The Good Son with like Elijah Wood.
Oh, and Macaulay Culkin. That movie's so good. That movie's so good. Oh, that hit my horror bone there.
So yeah, we get to Loki. Loki disappears from the first Avengers movie. He ends up fucking the desert somewhere.
Like, yeah, he literally lands in the middle of the fucking desert
or something. And then he immediately gets pulled into the TVA. He meets Mobius, which Owen Wilson like fucking killed the shit.
I could not imagine another actor, a single other actor that could crush it. That character fit all of Owen Wilson's quirks. Every single one of them.
Owen Wilson became like this low-key sex symbol, like all of a sudden. And it was just so funny. And like, I follow like this one gossip site. And the funny thing about Owen Wilson that's like a secret is apparently he runs into people on his bike. Like, he hits people.
Oh, like, physically run. Like, not physically. Like, oh, hey, there you are.
Like, but in like multiple countries, cities, there's always a new story of, like, well, I got run into by Owen Wilson on his bike.
So, is he doing the thing that Bill Murray did where he's like, they'll never believe you? Where he just show up into, like, random things?
No, he's just like, I'm so sorry. And he just keeps going.
It was discussed the Assembled series that's on Disney Plus where it talks about the making of. They talked about Loki. And Owen Wilson had to grow a mustache for the character. And apparently the mustache was so well received And I think that's part of what Tori is talking about, where it was so well received where people were like, okay, Owen Wilson, mustachioed Owen Wilson, I will yell wow if you go down on me. Like, that's that attitude. People are like, mustachioed Owen Wilson, fuck yeah. And I will say, he pulls off the mustache. It's not something everybody can pull off.
It's true. Just the mustache, just the solo stash.
Just the stash.
Yeah, because a lot of people, it does literally look like the stereotype that it's a porn stash. Owen Wilson is like, no, it doesn't look like a porn stash. It looks like it just fits his fucking face.
Yep.
Also, how many times is he ever wearing a suit? He's like so clean, put together.
Yeah.
And earth tones, the brown earth tone really worked with him, right?
He's got that like 1970s like alcoholic detective vibe going for him.
Columbo?
Yeah. 100%. Like, he could fully Kojak if he just had the lollipop, you know?
He's just
like,
on the new season of True Detective, just killing it.
It's like, oh, wow, there's another dead body.
Wow. No,
he killed it, man. Like I said, every little Owen Wilson quirk was just right in there, man. And I loved every second of it. I was worried about that too, because let's face it, his like trying to be straight comedy in the 2000s kind of just fell on its face at a certain point, right?
Well, and with this character, there's so much of it where he's letting the thing happen with preparation. So he's not forcing anybody's hand. He's not being super pushy about anything, but he's letting it ride until he has the right opportunity to act on what he already knows. He's really subtle in his character.
But the jokes. The one-liners. Fuck me, dude. They were so good.
And I am still upset that he never got his jet ski.
No shit.
Never got his jet ski.
Dude.
He's got to come back. It's clear that he's got to...
Well, he's there.
Yeah, I mean, he's there. It's
just a variant.
Different version.
Different version.
There's got to be a version where he's just like, there's a little lake out back of the TVA that he's got a little fucking sea-doo that he can hang out on.
He needs his fucking jet ski. We need to get one shot at some point in the series. I don't give a fuck if it's season 5, whatever, of him on a goddamn jet ski.
No, what I want is like, the jet ski isn't handled or mentioned ever again at all until the Fantastic Four movie, and then they go into the multiverse of the Fantastic Four, and there's just Owen Wilson as just a dude in the background on a jet ski.
Yes!
And then,
and he's like, God. Right, dude.
They're like on the shore, and they just save the day, and you just see Owen Wilson in the background going, wow! Just riding a jet ski.
And then he hits somebody.
Oh, wow. Didn't see you there, bud.
The play... off and just the back and forth between him and Loki is really, honestly, in the first, like, Hobbit, you had mentioned that the first at least two were kind of more slow burn episodes, but like, that's why, like, I was intrigued of where they were going to go with how, okay, well, he escaped with the Tesseract, what happens after that? Oh, these people that make red doors show up, okay, where the fuck is that? And then after that, it was like really just their interaction. It was seriously, Owen Wilson always had Loki's back for some reason. Like, he believed in this particular variant of Loki, and then it was their banter. It was just like Owen Wilson was just shutting Loki's bullshit down hard, dude.
Like, I loved it. It actually reminded me a little bit of our relationship, Lowdown, where sometimes where you get like worked up about a thing, you're like, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, are you done? Like,
I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that if I just like, can you shut up, please? Like, I will not shut up. I will murder you. But instead, it's like, so are we good here? And you're like, yeah, I'm good now.
Appreciate it, bro. Yeah. Thank you.
And that was that relationship with Loki and Mobius, is that Loki was like, grand purpose, fucking trickster god. And Owen Wilson's like, I got lunch in 15 minutes.
This is the first one I laughed this hard on the Disney Plus original series. Like, WandaVision had some comedy. Even Falcon Winter Soldier, like Sam and Bucky were awesome. But like shit, I was dying. I was fucking dying. It was amazing. The banter, so well written. And again, that goes to Owen Wilson though. He knew how to play off that, and they wrote him for that. Like was it Huddleston or Hiddleston?
Hiddleston. Yeah.
Obviously, he's got really good dry banter humor, but like those two together were just,
And you could tell that Hiddleston is fully like hamming up Loki really hard
in this series
a lot. But I think it's partly because like the shit that worked for him before Like, he's from Asgard, where everybody's just like, can I please get a bagel? You know, like, everybody's theatrical and dramatic. Kenneth Branagh directed the first Thor movie. Everybody's like, fucking Hamlet! You know, everybody's doing the shit. So he comes from this, like, big personalities. And then he comes into the TVA where people are like, okay, you need a form for the bagel. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
It took him a while to get broken down for that, too.
Oh,
my powers don't work. Oh, check all the boxes that have stop signs to prove you're not a robot. Right? And he's standing in front of the judge so confident that I'm just going to take over this place. And nothing. And just the disappointment in his face just shows how great of an actor Tom Hiddleston is.
When he has to stop by the guy who keeps the records, where he's like, you know, types everything out. And he's like, all right, sign here that you said all this. He's like, what? And then new page. Boom. Yep. And he's like, and then the guy going through the metal detector, like all that shit, just it was slowly breaking down Loki. It was amazing.
Yeah. And then just like Owen Wilson interrogating him. He's just like, killed your mom. Like, and then he's just showing him life. And just like, here's how you die. This is how you die.
When he watched that video,
And you just see the heartbreak. And
that was the first reveal that he sent the dude in the direction of his mom. And that was the first realization that he was actually responsible for that dude running into his mother, and his recognition that like he was actually responsible, like legitimately responsible for his mom's death.
Yeah.
Fuck. And they gave that breathing room too. They let him experience that, and which was very important.
I really enjoyed that in the grand scheme of the six episodes. It was a very short scene, but in the movies, when that happens, you don't really get any breathing room for Loki to that. It was more like Thor view, anger, everyone, fuck you, Loki. But like in this, when he sees that, he's like, oh shit. You realize that even the Avenger era Loki, you see the heart in that. You see the heart that it took us so long to get to in the movies show up like that. It showed up with a snap of the fingers, right?
In the movies, like you see Thor like grieve for his mom, and then like in Endgame when they're fixing things, he gets to see his mom again and just like grieve and just like be with his mom again. And just like you never see that like grief from Loki at all until this.
But the best part of the fact that I don't think, and thinking about it more, I don't know how much more Hiddleston actually hammed up for this role of Loki in this version, as that there was such a harsh contrast to the way that he played the character that he came off as a whiny little baby. Like he came off as like, I am this. No, you're not. Just shut up. But it also was a perfect comparison to the importance of the Infinity Stones, where Loki almost took over the world. Loki almost like got, you know, Thanos' armies to take over Earth in the first Avengers movie. He was a major threat. And in the TVA, he's nothing. He's nothing.
And none of that shit's anything.
And the Infinity Stones aren't either, where like he is so out of his depth that it's insane.
I feel like he even like at the very beginning when he gets there, and then he just like reluctantly like takes the ticket, and the guy in front of him is like, I don't need a ticket. And it immediately he just disappears, and he's just like, here's my ticket.
Oh, the dude, ticket. Karen.
I got it right here.
Yeah. I got my ticket.
The dude, like, Karen, that's like, I want to see your manager.
Prune. Yeah.
The number of people that I know that work in or have worked in retail before probably watched that and went, oh God, if only.
Can I get
my prune stick?
Can I get that Uber cattle prod on steroids?
Stick.
That's it. This is my prune stick.
We didn't get plates for our bread.
Yep.
Exactly. All right. So the way it unfolded about just, we have all this Loki that we're, like I said, we got so much we got so much about Loki. It. That, like I said, took us so long to get to that character arc in the films that, the full arc pretty much happened in, like, half an episode.
Yeah.
You know, and it was amazing to see it that way, of how quick it could happen when you see how stupid you were for so long, just in your own, you know, how narcissistic and selfish you were, right? And, the loop, though. That loop he was in, where you just cut off What's-Her-Face's hair, and he's just getting, like, kneed in the groin repeatedly.
I've been kneed in the groin, like, once is enough. Like,
repeatedly.
Me, like, by the second time I see Lady Sif rolling through, I'm like, whatever you want, like, just please don't knee me in the groin.
He tried that, it didn't work.
I just run. It'd be like fucking laughing. Just being chased by Lady Sif around that little patio.
Very Bad Place-esque, if I might say. Right?
Yeah, that's your fan theory, I think,
yeah.
Moving forward.
Yeah.
Oh, you're saying that the good place and the bad place is kind of...
It's connected to the multiverse.
Going to connect to the multiverse. I've got a theory that what if, since there's, you know, he's part, was it Frost Giant?
Yep.
Can we have a GOT connection in the multiverse with the fucking Ice King?
Oh my God. But see, here's the problem though. If you get too nitty gritty, you're going to run into the same issue that the new fucking Space Jam movie ran into.
Fuck that movie. I don't even want to talk about that movie.
You incorporate so much original content into one thing. You're like, I can't anymore. I can't deal with this.
I think I can. I'm like Thomas the Tank Engine. I think I can.
Is that what Thomas the Tank Engine
is? That's what he said.
Yeah.
Cool. Totally.
Good to, I'm glad you explained that to me. Yeah.
So this is the reverse role, though. It's actually the minority explaining to the majority what's going on.
Is that blaxplaining? Is that
yes? Yeah, totally. Okay. Well, it's like half blaxplaining.
Actually, blaxplaining is being like you're not allowed to wear that makeup for a Halloween costume. I'm like, oh, I can't. That's blaxplaining. That's blaxplaining.
Oh shit! But
I want to go as the Falcon. You're like, you can't do that. You can't. You're
sorry, bro. You just do Winter Soldier. It's fine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do Captain America. You're fine. Do any Marvel character,
or just do the Falcon and not. With Loki, I think even the first episode that the reason why he gets pulled in as a variant to help out is because the person they're chasing that's fucking shit up is a Loki.
Yes.
I think it's right at the tail end of the first episode. So at that point, of course, fan theories are blowing up super huge after that episode. Like, and a lot of people are like, Lady Loki. And I'm like, yep, that's the one. Yeah, definitely that one. Although how much different would it have been is that reveal and it was Alligator Loki in a cloud.
That would have been so good. I would not have been angry about
that. Haunting music, and there's like fucking fires going around. The hood comes off, and roar, just fucking Alligator Loki.
I am slightly disappointed that they didn't incorporate any of the example Lokis in the holograms that they were talking about.
Oh yeah, there was like a dude in a fucking safety vest. I think
it was Sport Loki.
Right?
He had like a polo jacket or some shit.
It was Neanderthal Loki.
Yeah.
Although they did have bicycle helmet Loki, and I'm like, what? Yeah. What is that world? Like, can we just get like a one episode?
Because Loki is lazy, so what is he doing cycling everywhere? What's that dude about?
It's just like that fucking like bike messenger movie with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, but it's just Loki instead.
What movie was that? It was a good movie.
That was Premium Rush.
That was a good movie.
Yeah. So maybe that multiverse is like Loki cycling and then getting run into by Owen Wilson.
Mobius is like, oh, I'm sorry. It's like blessing.
Oh, wow, man. I'm sorry.
That was a really good impression of fucking Owen Wilson.
Also, like,
oh, man, I'm wow. Oh, man. Oh, I'm geez. So sorry. That's like the Zoolander, man.
Eighth time you've mentioned Owen Wilson running into people, and that's not a complaint. Do more of, I'm not tired of that fucking line. That's great.
I've seen so many stories of it. I'm like, this is absolutely true. This is like, even though it's a gossip site, I was like, no, this is true.
No, like I have a book called The Tower of Bill Murray where it talks about all the no one will believe you stories. And it's only the stories that are somewhat able to be verified. Not even just the like your friend that says it's like some verification happened. There's got to be an Owen Wilson book at some point where it's like the stories are way more boring where it's like, yeah, I was eating ice cream and Owen Wilson ran over me with his bicycle. Like, that's the end of the story. Yep. And it's just like a whole book of those stories.
It's almost like a badge of honor. Like, hey, so Owen Wilson ran into me on his bike. Like, I was in Italy.
I mean, if you're going to get run over by somebody.
It happened.
He was filming Zoolander 2.
You could have been run over by Jim Belushi, but you get Owen Wilson instead. I'd say that's a win.
But what I also love is he's always kind. He's just always like, oh, I'm so sorry. And then he just rushes away like he's doing the Tour de France. Like, he's just like.
So focused.
I guarantee. If I got run over by Owen Wilson, I would be pissed unless he went, oh, wow, I'm sorry. And I'm like, cool, done.
Gotta have good. A wow. Yep. You gotta have
if
a wow.
If he says, oh, wow, I'm done. I'm fine. Wow.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly. Good. It's so, like, it's that, oh, it's, oh, God.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Loki, wow.
Wow. Wow.
The funny thing is, and he didn't say wow the entire fucking series.
Well, you gotta branch out.
Yeah.
We did get the how.
Yeah, we got it. We got a lot of the same. We got a variant of the wow.
But you know who did? Fucking the He Who Remains got the wow.
He did
when the two Lokis is like two Lokis in one place. Wow! And he did a little bit of an Owen Wilson. He didn't do a full Owen Wilson, but he leaned a little bit that way.
Do we need to save? Do we need to save the He Who Shall Remain for the second half? Because there's a lot to talk about.
That's a lot to unpack for sure.
So but much.
Leading up to that, can we talk about the fucking like guard dog Cloud?
Oh, like, Azeroth.
He was basically like a guard dog Cloud. This big angry fucking Cloud.
It was like the smoke monster from Lost and Cerberus had a baby. Is basically.
I will say it was very impressive because Tori, you brought up the older Loki who was basically wearing the OG Loki costume from the comics, which is an amazing throwback.
Yes.
I love how they incorporated all that. You brought that up and how he like realized he was the problem and went away, and then got lonely, and that's the only reason he came back, and that's why he got caught. The strength he gained, like when they show his fucking power, where he creates a fucking Asgard.
That's insane.
That's, but it shows how strong all the Lokis are.
They have that potential
to be that strong. And that was an amazing scene.
Is there any possibility that the classic Loki could be 616 Loki as opposed to the MCU 1999-99 Loki?
Oh, I don't know. Well, that's the thing.
It does have the same costume.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's really hard to gauge what's... Because the multiverse is happening, there's no real conversation about what the actual timeline that has been preserved is. That even the Loki that we know from the version of the Marvel Universe that we know, in a way, we're not sure if that's the one that actually got preserved. We don't know it because time exists differently in the TVA. So this looks like something that's recent. So we're like, oh, that one's definitely the
But we had the other recent one who was like a complete douche. He was trying to take over the bowling alley, right? Like, it looked like the Loki that we know that is current.
Yeah, so but we're actually, wasn't at this point, this throws everything up in the air that the next Marvel movie that is not a weird kind of prequel that we run into, I'm not sure which version of the universe we're going to run into.
Could be both, because at the beginning of episode 6, you had that pullout from the first universe, and every clip you heard was from the MCU, and as they focused down into the second universe, it was mostly Loki and Marvel World 1, which is us, like the real world.
Yeah.
It was a combination of Loki and our world in the second universe, so it could be two separate ones that they may end up merging together or something.
I'm really excited about the second half of this episode because even though I don't think, well, I mean, maybe, but I don't think any of us are stoned, us talking about the multiverse in the second half after we have the shares going on, where we're like, because Loki, he's like, no, because like he's from this one, right? Oh, but God. You don't know if he's from this one, and that's just going to be the whole second half.
But, like, alligator Loki, like, you know, Loki's, like, adopted, so is, like, Thor, like, a crocodile? Like, what's that about?
Asgard is actually in the fucking...
Can mammals impregnate
Florida?
Amphibians?
The Everglades.
In the Everglades.
Dagobah.
Can mammals impregnate reptiles? How's that work?
Hey, you know what? As long
That's
as...
a whole other conversation.
As long as Burt Reynolds' movie Gator becomes canon in the MCU, then I'm happy. Like, I'm on board
That's
for this
just
shit.
Like another, like... Pillboy reference from The Good Place because it's Florida.
Right? Like, little known fact that
telling you.
Alligator Loki is a huge Jacksonville Jaguars fan.
Yes.
Big time.
So that Jacksonville, they can tie in fucking Evil Dead.
There we go.
Jacksonville, there you go. Boom. We're just tying in this multiverse. Literally fucking Ash. Boom. All about Jacksonville.
It all starts in Florida.
Okay. Florida. Like, we're getting to the...
It all starts in Florida.
We're getting to the break and already this is... falling apart so bad.
It's so good.
Absolutely terrified about what the second half of this episode is going to be because
just embrace it.
Embrace it like Loki embraced his girl version of himself when the
that was kind of unsettling at first though. I was like, oh, are you going to kiss yourself, dude? That's like,
look, I have sexed myself more than probably most in my life.
Yeah, but that's falling in love with. It's different.
If a
there's
version
lust
of me
and there's love. There's difference.
Looks like me.
There's difference.
But it has like big old girl boobs, same amount of chest hair. I don't even give a shit. Like looks like me, beard, big old boobs, and shows up and be like, I'm you, but a girl version. I'd be like, first thing, we should like make each other come, right? Yeah, just to start. Like, let's
even that sounds so. Sounds just so uncomfortable.
Because if we're actually gonna have a conversation, we don't want to have that in the back of our head the whole time. It's like, I mean, it's me, so like I know they're thinking it too. Like, just get that out of the way. I'm just gonna have like hairy chested, big boobed me, bigger boobed me. Dude, just stroking it. God. Just get me going.
No.
Okay, well.
Like, I don't wanna like see another version of me. Mm-mm. And then make myself it's not on my list of to do.
A girl version of you shows up and is like, Halloween's my favorite movie and everybody sucks. You're not just be like, pull them titties out, girl. You're not gonna.
No.
Okay. All right. Well,
I don't think, because like my wife loves Halloween and she also agrees with me that everybody sucks and she's not a female version of me, so I'm cool with that.
But it's different.
No, though. It's not. It's fine.
It's basically masturbation at that point.
Exactly. It's just masturbating. But
like, also, I've used my left hand before. That doesn't mean that, like, I'm going to do it regularly, but I'm still curious.
You literally want to, like, fuck yourself.
I mean, I've been told to do that so many times, I might as well try it one of those times.
No, that's passing the buck. Fuck that. No. All right.
We have basically a shirt that says that. I mean,
it is true. I own it. I thought about that. Oh, never mind. We'll talk about that in the break.
Okay, yeah. Let's get to the break. Holy shit. Stick around. We're going to have you hear about some of the other shows on the network. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about our sponsors, Drunken Senior 2, and what we're drinking. So stick around. We'll be right back with a variant version of Geeks Under the... It's going to be the same. I didn't plan anything.
No, it's going to be the same.
Yeah, okay, cool. So stick around. We'll be right back with more conversation about me fucking myself.
Coming straight from the mouths of madness, I'm Lowdown.
I'm F.U. Hunter.
Do you love horror?
We fucking do.
So this is a podcast dedicated to all things in cinematic horror. We're talking movies, television, composers, special effects artists. We're going to fucking cover it.
So if you love horror,
embrace the madness.
My name is Amy Bogard.
And I'm Mike the Hobbit.
And we are the hosts of Deeply Upsetting, where we use our expertise to answer your most upsetting hypothetical quandaries, such as, what non-winged animal deserves wings?
And what body part deserves a secret mouth?
Which cryptid is the worst roommate?
These questions and more that plague you will be answered on Deeply Upsetting, available anywhere you get your podcasts and at GUIpodcast.com.
Hey guys, Scotty Big Daddy Preston here. That's right, the Geek Father, asking you to join me here every other week with friends and family of the GUI Network as we go through all the trials and tribulations of being a geeky parent. So remember, join us or cry.
In a world ravaged by movie studios that keep rehashing the same things, only one podcaster has the guts to make it even worse. Join Mike the Hobbit as he traverses the internet to bring you some of the best and worst ideas for reboots, remakes, and reimaginings of some of your favorite and least favorite TV and film properties. Ideas like a John Waters He-Man movie, Fantastic Four the Musical, and Aliens done entirely with marionettes. What podcast would bring this evil upon the world? This is Smack My Pitch Up. Available anywhere you get your podcasts.
We're back for the second half of Geeks Under the Influence, all things Loki, the series on Disney Plus. And before we continue on with what is going to be guaranteed a incredibly drunken shit show, because holy fuck, we have so many shares on this episode.
Jesus Christ.
Before that, we have to talk about our sponsors before it gets too out of control. Of course, first off is Amazon.com. If you want to shoot yourself into space, good luck, because the person that owns Amazon is doing it for you. But if you want to say fuck him, then take some of his money away by going through the link at GUIpodcast.com. You can shop Amazon, and some of that money comes to us.
Mm.
So out of necessity, sometimes you have to do it. But if you hate the penis-shaped rocket guy going into space, at least some of that money is going to somebody else that you appreciate instead of him. So
hasn't he been kicked out, though?
He's not the CEO anymore. He's now like a member of the board, but he's not making all
the decisions. I thought he got kicked out of the board, too, recently. I thought that was like the end result, which is good.
That means his next step is making the giant spider crawly machine and destroys whole cities, because he's already bald, so he's that much closer to Lex Luthor.
Mm.
He's ready to go. He's already gotten space technology, so
he's bald. He could just be a bullshit and be Rhino.
But see, the thing is, in our timeline, Superman wouldn't be like a good guy. It would be like literally Elon Musk. And then it would be like Elon Musk as Superman. Yeah. That he did like experimental Russian technology to get
that's
like superpowers.
That's scary to think about all the actual people that are like technically super powered.
So before the end times that will eventually happen from all the billionaires fighting each other like superheroes with all this experimental technology they develop with all their unnecessary amounts of money, give us the mere pennies on the dollar that we get through GUIpodcast.com. Click on the shop Amazon link and purchase whatever you feel you need to, whether it be MCU movies or bomb shelter equipment, because you know the end times are near. And we get some of the credit. So that's one way to support the show. The best way, though, to support the show is, of course, TeePublic. TeePublic.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. I'm not getting anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not Hunter.
You're not flavor-flaving me. You're just like, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Just released a design from Deeply Upsetting actually earlier today before we dropped
it. Oh, I didn't see that.
It's Every Girl Crazy About a Pear-Shaped Bear t-shirt, and it's a pear with a bear face on it.
No ZZ Top image in there at all, just a name?
The plus side of that is no licensing issues whatsoever. We are good to go. But if you recognize the reference, it's from episode 26 of Deeply Upsetting, and it is part of the conversation of that episode.
You could put like... Is there bears?
Well, the bears were actually like human bears, like people bears that are pear-shaped. For all the pear-shaped bear listeners, we now have a shirt for you or all the fans of pear-shaped bears that are listening, as well as close to 40 designs available from Geeks Under the Influence.
Are we there?
We're at like 38, I think.
God, Halloween season's coming up. We're going to be like at 45.
Yeah, we've got a bunch of reserve designs that are going to be popping out here around Halloween season. So we're going to be probably close to 50 by Halloween. But there are so many designs, and not just t-shirts, but there's mugs and cups and laptop bags, button stickers,
tapestries, fucking...
all sorts of stuff available.
It's insane.
Just go to GUIpodcast.com/store or just go to GUIpodcast.com and click on the store link. That'll send you right over to TeePublic where you can get all those designs. Sales all the time. So if it's a little
bit... sale right now.
As we're recording, there is a sale.
There is a sale right now. So that's how frequent it happens.
And if there isn't a sale the week that you're looking at it, just wait like 5 days and look again. There will probably be a sale. They're on sale all the time. So,
yerp.
Do you have a thong for Variant Me?
We're working on thongs, but if you have a child that needs a shut the fuck up hobbit, onesie, that is available through TeePublic as well. So those are our sponsors, and holy shit, buckle up because things are about to get really fucking weird because holy crap, we have so much booze.
There's a lot of booze.
So much booze. And we also spent
too much time on the break.
This is like old
school days booze. This is first year booze.
This is going to be reminiscent of the old school GUI days where we have too much booze for our own good. We're talking about a segment called What We're Drinking.
Hey, we're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go. Hey,
we're drinking. We're getting drunk.
Let's start with Lowdown. You brought a local.
I did. I brought a East Coast local. We got some Lakeside Lager. This is from a brewery in Lakeside, Virginia, and it's called Final Gravity Brewing Co. I've brought them on the episode before. Just they're a fucking solid brewery. I just want to get them out and about. Like they're one of the more low key sleeper breweries in the area.
Low key.
Yeah. See what I did there?
Yeah.
You like that? Yeah. It was more subtle until he pointed it out. Anyway.
Yeah.
This is tasty.
It's a solid fucking lager, dude. And a big thing for me is that I brought this one specifically because a lot of breweries around the area, like Richmond has been called like the little or junior Asheville.
Yep.
We have so many fucking breweries in this city, but a lot of them don't specifically specify or like specialize in lagers.
Yep.
It's like IPAs, stouts. That's pretty much like their go-to for
a
lot of places.
Big. So you're doing either big IPAs or big hearty stouts for the most part.
Do a solid sessionable lager.
This is incredibly.
You like that? You like that?
I love this.
Yeah.
This is sitting by the pool.
Yes.
Right here. This is so.
Oh.
So sessionable.
They have a Hefeweizen that I will try to bring on the next episode if they have it back in stock.
Tori just recently traveled out of state and brought us a delicious beverage to engage in here, which I am already very familiar with, and actually is one of the most thematic drinks for the episode because of the drinks that Renslayer and Mobius have when they're hanging out.
Yes, Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, finished in port wine barrels. Angel's Envy.
We leave ring stains everywhere.
If you are unfamiliar with Angel's Envy, this is, well, it's not the most expensive, but it's a little bit higher range. But good. Fuck, it's so good. It's so good.
Incredibly smooth. I mean, I think that's a testament to it being finished in port wine barrels. And I got this bottle while I was in Louisville, and I don't know, it somehow tastes better straight from the distillery.
The port barrel, finished in port barrels, I've noticed this through the realm of bourbon and scotches that I've had. Common thing with some of these spirits is the sweetness level, and the port barrel definitely drops that down and adds a flavor to it. And I think that's a big thing why port barreling has become so prominent in the last couple of years. It really does. Like, it's like there are a lot of bourbons that are good, but they're also very sweet, and with scotches.
Going to the distillery was so much fun, and we paired it with like these delicious chocolates, which I still have, and they had like bottled cocktails, and we got all four. And they're all have been drinking. Fuck like, yes. They were drinking immediately, and they were all fantastic, and I love Angel's Envy.
So they had bottled cocktails?
At the distillery, yeah. You could only get two per person, so me and my husband got all four. So
nice.
But I got to drink all four, which was...
Now, next up, our newest in-person panelist on GUI decided to...
God, fuck us.
...try and kill us.
I like it.
With two shares to bring
He came with his dick swinging like, hey, guys.
You know what? Like, I can only be so mad because we're talking about, like, Asgardians. Talk about, like, the closest to Caligula you can get in the MCU.
Well, yeah, because we don't need Caligula.
I mean, we'll see after these drinks. We might end up fucking each other on air. So.
You know? Can we call Malcolm McDowell, though? Because I would like that. That'd be fun.
I mean, if I was to fuck a celebrity, Malcolm McDowell's on the list, for sure. And apparently so is Chris, because he brought the lubrication to make that happen. What are we sipping on for this one here?
I tried to go a bit thematic and honor our Frost Giant with a beer that I'm going to completely butcher the name of. Einstock Olgaard.
Olgaard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Icelandic Arctic Pale Ale.
It's got a Viking on the fucking can. So talk about nail on head as far as the thematic drink.
This is what fucking Amon Amarth drinks. Right?
Right before they're like, rah! Like they're...
Raise your horns.
Oh, man. That's actually really...
It's really good.
Fucking, that's
really good.
Really good.
Right? It's really enjoyable. I actually really like that
triple
one.
Hopped. This is a tasty beverage at 5.6%. So it's actually relatively sessionable. This, even during the summer, even though it's got a heavier hop...
Well, it's
like,
flowery, though, too. It's like a flowery hop. So
it's
spring and
it's
summer,
not heavy-handed at all. This is so good, dude. Like, fuck.
Sidebar, I'm not a beer person, so for me it's like it's good or it's bad,
but
this is good. I like this.
But so that actually speaks more volumes than us being like, oh well, you know, the the aftertaste and the when you breathe
the
nose,
nose,
yeah, the nose and all that shit. But no, for real though, like this is very, very spring and summery. Like,
yeah, it is. It's really refreshing.
If you got a six pack of this to watch the six episodes of Loki and you drank a beer an episode, you'd be feeling pretty okay. Very light buzz at the end of the series.
Might be a little perplexed at the end, though. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, you know, this is super sessionable.
It's delicious.
Your other one, you brought two from the same brewery, it looks like.
Yes, the other one is a wee heavy.
Oh, that one's, there's the kick in the dick.
Oh,
that's the kick in the dick.
Although I will say for a wee heavy, the flavor profile is not bad, though at 8%.
The ABV, yes, there you go.
That's going to treat you a little bit differently at the end of the day. So.
This is a swing and a woo.
Yeah, swing and a woo is for sure.
As someone who doesn't really care for beer, I did not care for this beer.
that makes perfect sense, though.
It has a significant more beer-like flavor to it. So
It's Very much. I'm
so yes. For someone who doesn't like beer,
mm-hmm.
this particular beer as a wee heavy is second to only like a barley wine. Which a barley wine mm-hmm. is a fuck you in the face beer.
And this definitely has, I mean, Scottish ale definitely has some notes that are similar to a barley wine
yeah.
where it's got that kind of like almost like caramelized sweetness to it a little bit.
This is like way more subtle than a barley wine.
This is like the, Scottish ale, redheaded stepchild to mm-hmm. the barley wine where it's a little bit lower alcohol percentage. It's a little bit more approachable than a barley wine. Barley wine is like the older redheaded brother that has been to Nam.
You've seen some shit.
He's seen some shit. And he's one of those guys that, like, if he's driving and you're just going to McDonald's to get some fries, he's just like, no, we've got another mission. You're like, fuck. That's barley wine.
Wait, which version of Loki drinks this one, though?
Oh, God.
Oh, this is the railroad tie version of Loki, the one that turns on them.
Yeah.
It has the like the giant wrench that goes into the railroad tie. Like
shit. Oh, yeah.
What do they call him in the credits? Boastful Loki.
Boastful Loki, yeah. Like he's drinking.
Are we doing your radar beers by the Loki?
By the Loki, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Jesus.
Yep.
The alligator Loki of the episode is the one that I brought to the party,
yes.
which is one that is
really good.
Appreciated for the most part, but definitely has a little bite.
Can't be mad. I did the same thing.
We've got Parkway Brewing Company's Save the Galaxy.
It's really
Indian
good.
Pale Ale. It's appropriate for the episode, but also it's definitely got a little more bite than the floral kind of.
This
like,
is East Coast local too, bro.
This is East Coast local.
Salem, Virginia.
It's got a little more hop than I tend to like, but I would still say that I could definitely drink this. It's not
this is
too
good.
Heavy-handed.
For just like a straight Indian pale ale that isn't from a local brewery that has the IPAs I like, this is very good. Like I could buy a six pack and not be mad and drink this. This is really good.
And also considering our show, I need to get used to drinking this because with a name like Save the Galaxy, thematically, this is not the last time this is going to show up on an episode.
No. You know, okay, so the brewery that I got the lager from, their IPAs are astronomy
related
bound
as well. Now, are we done? Yeah. Is that all?
That's
our
all
shares?
Of them.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Oh no!
Holy shit!
Yeah, we talked about the bourbon.
Yes.
Yes. We're good.
So okay. We're good. We're done.
Holy
Jesus
shit!
Christ.
So if we sound disjointed on the second half, you now have a better understanding as to why. But we have another segment that we need to do now, which is some people's least favorite, some people's most favorite. We're talking about making a drunken scene.
Making a drunken scene.
So, fortunately, with any Marvel property, the fanboys are really good about getting the quotes out there pretty quick. So we got some really good quotes for the Loki series ready to go. First one up is from Classic Loki and Mobius. And
Oh, we already know he's got Mobius. Tori, come on, man.
Tori, you didn't hear on the episode, she's like, I sound exactly like Owen Wilson.
Seriously,
well, I have no misgivings about it. I feel fully confident about it. I sound exactly like it.
I try.
Yeah.
I'll do the narration on the first one, but it's me and you on the second one. Or wait. Chris, what do you want? Like,
Chris, you got carte blanche because you are the newbie.
Pop
to
that cherry, bitch.
Yeah, get in here.
Mm.
What do you want?
I guess I'll do Classic Loki.
Classic Loki?
Oh,
okay.
Shit. Okay.
Okay, so on the second one, we've got Loki and Sylvie. And do you have a preference lowdown?
I don't.
You know what? I'm going to Sylvie for you.
Shit.
As long as we get to make out at the end, then that's...
I don't think that'll happen, Hobbit.
I mean, have you seen how many beers we have on the table? Like,
I have, but I have a higher fortitude than you.
I know, because we've been doing a number of cons and you've never fallen for the I'm Sylvie line before. So,
I have blacked out though. That's the con you weren't at. Though.
I don't make out with passed out people. That's like a hard line.
I didn't
for
say
me.
Passed out. I said blacked out.
Here's proof that you know that I didn't make out with you because if I did, you would have remembered. That would have been the one light in the dark. Is my tongue down
I
your
mean,
throat?
I there's no dark in that con for me, but okay.
There was some dark in me. one of those times. Yeah. When you're blacked out. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I like it.
All right. That's...
Yes, that's I really love when we make our listeners uncomfortable. It's amazing.
I love
it's
when
glorious.
I'm uncomfortable with our conversation. Okay, here we go. So first off is from episode 5, Journey into Mystery, is classic Loki and Mobius. So whenever you guys are ready.
Referring to Alligator Loki.
You really don't remember him?
I mean, the TVA arrested a lot of Lokis, but no, I don't. But no, I don't remember an alligator. I mean, who's to say he's even a Loki variant?
He is green, isn't he?
It's really good.
I don't know. He could be lying, the Long Con. Of course, that just makes him more likely to be a Loki. It's always the game within the game with you guys, which I respect. Wow.
Fuck. 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 That's so good.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay. Oh, that hurts.
That was really hard to get through.
Oh, my God. No, that's...
I'm dying.
I should have made that second. Like, that should have been the...
Sorry.
Okay, all right, I'm good.
I perfected. I perfected it with Zoolander. That's how I perfected the Owen.
I mean, you fucking nailed that.
Thank
that's
you.
Great.
Really, that was
thank
really,
you so much.
Really well.
I thought,
well done.
I had lost it, but I
no.
guess not.
No, you did well.
That
you
was very,
very
well done.
Might I say, wow?
Not as good as
wow.
No.
There you go.
No,
there you
of
go.
Course not.
No, see, no. So, Tori, how you know we're not bullshitting is because we don't. Bullshit. Like, it sucks. We would say, no, that was terrible.
No, now the one we're about to do, way worse.
It's going
to
be horrible. It's going to be,
yeah,
it's gonna be
so
horrible.
Much worse.
It's going to be so bad. It's going to be so bad.
This is from episode 3, Lamentus, and this is from Loki and Sylvie.
So you're Sylvie.
I'm going to be Sylvie.
And I'm Loki.
So whenever you're ready to start.
So, on the subject of love, is there a lucky bow waiting for you at the end of the crusade?
Is that your British
accent? That's what I got. That's what I got.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, there is actually managed to maintain quite a serious long-distance relationship with a postman whilst running...
You're like Cockney redneck. Fuck you, dude.
Fuck off.
Don't give me shit.
Whilst running across time... From one apocalypse to another.
No, you went like Cockney redneck to fucking Michael Caine. Eat a dick.
No, I'm doing the love interest of Adam Sandler in Funny People.
All right.
There's like
right,
four people listening, being like, I get that reference. Okay.
And with charm like that, who could you resist you?
Well, people are quite willing.
God damn it.
In the face of certain doom.
Well, I'm sure they are.
It was only...
The fuck?
Our, just to keep me going, how about you, Governor?
Fucking Oliver Twist.
You're a prince. Must have been would-be princesses, or perhaps another prince?
Raises eyebrows suggestively. Loki smiles wryly. A bit of both. I suspect the same as you, but nothing ever.
Real.
Fuck me.
That was
a whole... Wow.
I kind of really just want to name the episode Wow.
Wow. It's so good.
Wow.
That wow is so good. Wow. Seriously. You should be proud of that wow.
Oh, that's
you really
good.
Should be.
I can't believe.
You guys were awesome.
Oh, okay, Jesus. But I do want to at least touch
terrible.
Base a little bit before moving on to the second part of the episode about, honestly, anybody that is familiar with the character of Loki from the comics or even Norse mythology was not that surprised about, is that Loki's bisexual, and he's gender fluid, and so is Sylvie to a degree, or at least it wasn't challenged by Sylvie.
And in the first episode, you see that his gender is listed as fluid.
As fluid. Well, he literally is a shapeshifter. So why would his gender not be fluid? Like, he
could be anything.
Yeah.
Anything.
Like, he is a frost giant. 99.999% of the time that we see him, he is not a frost giant, which means that everything about him is shapeshifty. And it's been brought up on social media. This isn't anything new that you're going to learn, is that, like, in the history of Loki in the mythology, he turns into a horse, not a dude horse, a girl horse, gets fucked by a horse and gives birth. Like, Loki is a shapeshifter, is the master of chaos and mischief. Of course he fucks dudes and chicks and everything that, in between.
What is ultimately considered, especially when Loki was created, chaos.
Yeah,
that is chaos. And like,
even comes through in the comics. The comics have referenced this well before it ever came up in the series.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, if you look at when the comics were written, that is chaotic as fuck.
Yeah,
you're a dude. You're
so I hate all the. Well, I've seen it on some of the posts on Facebook. There's always the fucking haters. They're gonna lose their shit because Loki trying so fucking social justice warriors trying to make people gay.
No,
he's been gay whole
this
time.
This is where, like, and I can get behind that. Like, this is not.
It's like SJW's people being pissed about Valkyrie being bisexual, and it's like we're throwing it in our faces. Literally not mentioned at all in the movies. It was mentioned in interviews about the nature of the character that might come through in Love and Thunder.
Love and Thunder, yeah, but.
But the fact thrown in your face is literally not mentioned once. So
she was a drunk.
If that's
who had some pretty cool hand
if
controls.
If that's being thrown in your faces, then you are so hypersensitive.
Yes,
it's insane.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was having because a friend of mine was trying to figure out like what to watch, and I told her like you should watch this show, and she had no idea that it was also like mythology. She thought it was just Marvel. I was like, no, Loki, Thor, like that's all like Norse mythology. And yeah, I mean, it is funny that people are just like, no, people that don't exist, that are on other planets in other universes should be straight. Like, it's like, all right.
Wait, calm down.
That was actually a conversation? Asgard is like Caligula.
Yes.
Wow. Like, okay. Hold on. People, listen.
I mean, I learned mythology in school.
I did as well. So yeah. I'm coming from the conversation of like, look, motherfuckers, like if you... Dionysus. Can we just talk about Dionysus? What the fuck, man?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Jesus Christ. Like, yeah the
like,
Norse gods.
Hercules just isn't a Disney movie.
In mythology, the Loki character in mythology was bi/gender fluid/whatever anyway. So it wasn't Marvel Disney that came up with this.
Exactly. No, but it gets bastardized because, Disney trying to be welcome. Like, all right, hold on, motherfucker. Like,
all them BC 900 social justice warriors trying to turn people.
What'd you say about sucking dick, Hobbit? I'm pretty sure that goes back like centuries. Honestly, that's where we're at. I mean, I'm just saying.
I will tell you when caveman days happened, and there was like the first like actual like people, not like
you're like, oh,
that like Homo erectus, and somebody was like, we're Homo erectus, and it was like, goddamn right you are. Let me look at that. Sup?
He's like, wait, this is erectus. You got a mouth. What's up?
The first time, cavemen went on a hunt together and they're away from their women for more than a day or two. Like that's the first aspect of homosexuality in history. Is the first time that men were alone together, ever.
You know, I feel like the science and colleges and studies have proven that correct.
No, it's just hilarious that this is even a fucking conversation about this moment.
And that's really what I meant. It's like, come on.
Yeah. There's no way that Genghis Khan didn't like fuck men and women. He was literally a trillionaire. Like,
and Genghis Khan.
Oh, you went to Genghis Khan. Holy shit.
I'm just saying. He was literally like a trillionaire. Mm-hmm. Like in today's like
society.
Like,
yeah.
So we addressed the elephant in the room of the fucking toxic fans that are super fucking weird about that.
But Loki.
Literally
is like
offhand
trying to fuck himself.
Statement.
He's like,
it makes him sexier, honestly.
Honestly, like he's like a bit of both. Like, yeah, you're getting fed grapes and being fanned. Like, whoever's mouth is on your dick, you're not going to worry too much about that in fucking Asgard. This is basically Caligula, the comic book.
Where he's at when he falls in love, though, is he is in a dire straits situation, and he comes to actually want to understand and learn about another human, another being.
Mm-hmm.
And That is where we see Loki progress to. He wants to learn about this other being, and Loki has never really given a fuck about another individual person.
Well, and that's something I definitely want to dive into before we get finished with this episode, is that there is a person pulling on the strings.
Yes. There's definitely somebody.
Woo! And the two conversations that are happening with the two different variants of Loki that we're talking about, Sylvie and Loki, is that Loki is somebody that wants to be trusted and wants to have that personal connection, but Sylvie is unable to. And Sylvie doesn't trust anybody.
She's already lost it. That's the thing.
She is singularly driven, and that ability to trust people has been lost. So when they come up against the man, the He Who Remains.
He Who Remains. This is the final. We got it.
Who
is
that guy?
Well, that motherfucker I was not a fan of. I'm just saying.
Oh.
No, sorry.
The actor? Or?
No, so watching everything unfold, it wasn't the actor. It wasn't the actor. It was more like the story of, like, from the beginning, he knew that it would end with Sylvie stabbing him, and he played them through the whole thing.
Oh, 100%.
And, like, fuck you, dude. Like, come on, man.
Discounting the whole Gene Wilder.
Oh, Willy Wonka?
Can we talk about the outfit? Shit. Jesus Christ.
He's fully Willy Wonka. But that's also actually pretty close to one of the variants of King the Conqueror in the comic books as well.
Okay. I didn't know that.
So. No, but I mean, they did a play on it, and they definitely leaned on Willy Wonka. I mean, they were... The way that he slouched on the desk.
Right. Or his happy-go-lucky, smart-ass fucking mannerisms. That was Willy Wonka.
My question would be... When Ms. Minutes was giving them
the rundown
and the offer of, hey, actually go back, and her big fish or bait that she was dangling in front of Loki was, you can kill Thanos.
Yeah.
Yes.
My question is,
you want the Infinity Gauntlet? You got it, which was fucking insane.
My question on this, isn't this the 2012 Loki before Thanos showed up?
Yes.
Yeah.
When did he ever meet Thanos at this point?
No, but he saw the record of his life, so he saw the video.
He knew that he would eventually be killed by Thanos.
I'm going to say, this little bitch, Miss Minutes, like, she... I knew from, like, the get-go. I'm like, oh, she knows. She knows every... Like, she knows...
I love...
Like...
They made her side-eye where she was looking through files were like, yeah, the fucking ship that we can go shit. Yep, still looking for it. Mm. And the fact they animated a fucking, like...
Animated a clock
to be like, yeah, totally looking for it.
I'm like, she knows. She knows it
she
all.
She fully fucking knows.
She knows.
Dirty, dirty, insane. Dirty.
This little bitch.
So, as we know, the He Who Remains is a one variant version of Kang the Conqueror, which...
Who had very bad variants before and after that he solidified and crushed.
Well, and this actually comes into conversation that has come up in the MCU before, but it's the idea of that, like, the idea of, is it better for somebody that knows what they're doing to subjugate people and force them to live a certain way? Or is it better for people to have free will and be able to do whatever they want and with possible chaos as the result? And Kang clearly has a specific idea about how that works. Every variant of himself. Because
he can see, though. He can, like, I do love how they pointed out the fact that, no, he can see the timelines.
Yeah.
He does have that power. So that wasn't bullshit. He knew the different alterations of time.
So even He Who Remains, which I would assume would be the lightest version of Kang that we're going to meet, still believes in subjugation.
Yeah.
Like, even the lightest version of this character is just like, the best choice is that people are forced to be a certain way. And he picked the best version, literally the one version where the Avengers beat Thanos.
But
he picked that, well, as far as we know.
But he also picked that. I don't want it to sound like it was based solely on subjugation. He also picked that based off of all the other options, which we don't get alluded to actually what would have happened if he didn't pick that version of him. You know what I mean? Like, because the ultimate, the main thing we get is that like, he is so fucking intelligent that you're going to get a version of himself, like, and then there's going to be other versions of themselves fighting each other and basically destroy everything. That's what we get from him. We don't know if the version that we got of him was the best, but we also don't see that version that we get from him.
I'm assuming that's the best version, but, because the other ones are trying to take over.
That's what I'm saying.
Just trying to maintain.
So when you're taking over, it's like, where do you go from there?
It's like you also go back and you think, like, in Endgame or Infinity War, when Doctor Strange is like, how many timelines did you see? Didn't he say, like, 14? Infinite. Did he say 14 million? Is that how many he saw?
Something crazy,
He saw something crazy, and he's like, we only win in one. And mm-hmm. I'm like, well, that's, like, the sacred timeline. But I'm like, that means there's, like, 14 million, like,
optional,
like, optional variants where they don't win, where just, like, everyone dies and nothing happens. Like, oh gosh!
Look, at the end of the day,
it's anxiety.
Timeline starting to change didn't happen with the death of He Who Remains. There was a period of time where suddenly he didn't know what was about to happen, and I think it has to do with the fact that there were two variants that were around each other long enough. Time itself didn't know what happened further. It created a barrier.
Have you seen the theories where that particular moment, if you start this finale and the WandaVision finale at the same time, that moment happens at the exact same time Wanda gets her powers and turns into Scarlet Witch?
Just in multiverses, different universes.
Right, but if you start both episodes at the same time, both those moments happen at the same time.
That's fucking awesome.
And when that's he picks up that pen or whatever it is and drops it on the desk, that's the same time that Agnes falls on the ground.
Shut up.
The same second.
Shut up.
Shut
up.
Look, and the thing is that
big dick energy.
This sounds like the Dark Side of the Moon played with Wizard of Oz to a degree, but that was just a happy accident. But Marvel has already proven that they think this shit through to such a degree that they might actually plan on this kind of shit. And what I consider Eternals and Shang-Chi, which is going to incorporate some like very important characters. And
when's the Eternals come out though?
Eternals November. Comes out November, I think.
But Shang-Chi comes out in September. Yeah.
Yeah, and then in December is
No Way Home,
Spider-Man.
Which
I feel like you're doing Eternals and Shang-Chi. To introduce new characters and give them their own story where you understand where they are before everything breaks the fuck apart. There's already been conversation about that Spider-Verse. Why wouldn't Spider-Verse and Multiverse be part of the same conversation? What I'm considering is that the best way to take down Kang the Conqueror is that Multiverse versions of each other have to work together to take down the big bad. So you're going to get Logan. And then a new Logan. You're going to get all the Spider-Mans. You're going to get all the X-Men.
Are we
going to
get like a real Logan from Old Man Logan?
I think about that moment in Endgame where it was Captain America by himself. And then the portals opened up and everybody came out and he said, Avengers Assemble. And then everybody got both erect, cried, and screamed at the same time.
Yes.
And then imagine there's the original X-Men. The first class X-Men, the new versions of the X-Men they introduced in the MCU, all the Fantastic Fours from all the different versions and the new versions, as well as all the different Avengers, including fucking, you bring back all the retired Avengers. You bring back fucking Robert Downey Jr. You bring back,
Days of Future Past with the Fox X-Men. Days of Future Past already like alluded to a multiverse too.
Yeah.
So there's already...
So imagine that moment, like a Captain America moment, but it's literally like everything that has existed. You get...
In Marvel.
Wesley in Snipes Marvel. As Blade
showing up. And fucking slices motherfuckers.
And then you get everybody on fucking screen at the same time, and everybody just fucking dies. Like you just... be like, done.
Everybody dies.
Everybody goes into their car and drives into a wall, because they're like,
I don't know how to process this. I can't even
fucking handle this shit.
They might need all those versions because Kang has been so many different people throughout history, from pharaohs to
killed himself.
Iron Lad.
He's killed himself.
To right, 100 different other characters, the so they might need everybody to fight him.
Yeah.
If that literally happened, like, every single person, like, in the theater watched that movie, it would be like Mars Attacks, and everyone's skin would melt off, and everyone right? would just be skeletons, and it would cause more, like, the most deaths.
Look, it's like Cabin in the Woods, where Cabin in the Woods made every Cabin in the Woods movie canon to the Cabin in the Woods movie. That's what Loki did for every superhero movie in the Marvel universe,
especially with magic.
Yeah, like you can even pull in where you can even pull in like the fucking you pull in Lou Ferrigno. I mean, you can pull in fucking everyone, and it's part of the multiverse. They opened up this Pandora's box where everything is available.
I wouldn't pay double to see an Avengers movie with Lou Ferrigno.
No shit, right?
Yeah, for real.
That's the thing. A bit like I don't want to do like a death voice.
What's crazy is just like they did this whole thing, and then it's just like going back to like like the Infinity Stones. They're like paperweights. It's like so like everything we've invested in means nothing.
Yes,
like, nothing.
That was I said that at the beginning. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on,
nothing.
Motherfucker. Wait, what did you just say? I was so pissed.
But I love that because they immediately address in the same series why. It's nothing. Is that those stakes were so high because that was within one universe. But now you're talking about the entirety of all existence across multiverses, and you understand why it doesn't matter.
Right.
And so you realize that the stakes were the highest you've ever considered in Marvel. And then you pull back like those videos where it's like the state that you're in, and it pulls back to the country you're in, and then the planet. And then the moon, and it pulls back to the galaxy, and you keep pulling back, and you go like, oh, I've never mattered. Nobody, all of human history doesn't matter, even in the minor sense. That's what the multiverse is suggesting, is that Thanos doesn't matter. Anything that we dealt with doesn't matter, but it also tracks.
Marvel's just like, none of you matter. Give us money.
And all of us are like, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, here.
Yes. Yeah.
To that point, did you see when he was at his desk, when Kang was at his desk, that window behind him and the two smaller ones? I'm not going to say the name, but it looked a little bit like a rodent.
A rodent?
It looked like a Mickey Mouse ears.
Oh,
with
Jesus.
The windows behind him.
Disney. Oh.
Whoever that actor was. I'm sorry, I don't know his name.
He's from Lovecraft Country. Where he's from. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I did not know him from
Majors, I think. He's great.
Yes.
Like I think, and a lot of people are shitting on him because like that's not Kang, and it's like no, it's not Kang. This is a variant of Kang. He's not gonna play Kang like fucking Willy Wonka. Like he's playing. He who remains. He's playing a version of him. He's gonna play the.
He's having fun. He's having fun.
Weird version.
He shows up in an elevator with an apple, and he's like fucking with him the whole way up.
Yeah, rides. Kang's
like,
gonna be way darker.
That's the Kang we got.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Something I love about Marvel is like they do this thing so just so well, where just people just have these like intense conversations, and just like for almost a whole hour, it's like him talking to the two Lokis. Just like so intensely, and you're just like on the edge of your seat, and I was literally just like leaning into the TV.
Like, what is he gonna say?
Just like
what is he gonna
what's
do?
What's gonna happen? Yeah. And then you know what's gonna happen. Like you know what's gonna happen because you know it's gonna be multiverses and all this stuff. And then just like his, it was so good. It was just so good.
That was a really good counterpoint to the previous episode. This episode was all about dialogue.
Yes.
And if you look at episode 5. There must have been a million Easter eggs.
Oh, yeah.
In that one episode.
So many.
Yeah.
But it's not near as much dialogue, except for that pizza car, which I would definitely drive.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yes.
But we have to cut it. We're running a little bit late, but I understand why. There's so much to unpack on Loki, the series, and I appreciate the panelists for joining this this voyage through the Loki series on Disney Plus. I want to hear what you guys think about Loki, the series, and what you think is going to happen in the MCU moving forward. There's so much to unpack. There's so much that can happen. I want to hear you in the comments. I want to hear you email, voicemail, text messages, geeksontheinfluence@gmail.com. 804-505-4484. That's 804-505-4GUY for our voicemail and text messages. GUYpodcast.com to find all our social media stuff. And we'll see you next time, next week, for another episode. I'm Mike the Hobbit. Join us for glorious purpose or die.
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit.
Wow.
GUIpodcast.com.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Loki, wow.
Wow. Wow.